Hi everyone, and welcome back to the one, the only, the Appleworm Podcast. I'm so happy to be back, and I hope that you guys have been keeping up on the vlog, because as you guys know, when I don't have the time, resources to be able to put up the podcast, I always lean back on my blog, and I have been posting quite a bit on it so that you guys still have content and I still get to do what I most love, which is talk to you guys about everything going on the movie and Apple and tech community. I am very happy to be back because, as you guys know, the Apple event happened, the Showtime event, the services event, the surprises event happened. And that is something that I would not forgive myself if I didn't come back to you guys and tell you what my two cents are about this. And specifically because this is something that I was wondering, and if you have heard this podcast long enough, you know that I've been wondering what was going to be next. Because the quarterly earning reports of Apple have been always leading to this. And if you have not realized that, is because you're not caught up. And that is something that I would never forgive or forget myself. And the reason being very simple. Here's my reasoning. My reasoning is nothing lasts forever. Very simple, because the tech community is one of the ones that has evolved the most, and Apple is one that is only providing more products than services, and not the other way around. Like, for example, I don't know, maybe an Amazon or maybe Google, you know, that is way more services than product. I believe that Apple needs to understand that when you saw the quarterly earnings and the iPhone was stagnating and now even dropping, that means that you have to have a plan B. You have to have a backup. When the iPod was beginning to stagnate, they had the backup of Project iPhone. And that meant that they would be able to fall back on something. Now, they didn't expect it to be the life world-changing project that it actually became, but they did expect something to help them from their moving forward. So my point is, this event, although a lot of people were surprised by it, they shouldn't be surprised by the fact that looking towards the future, the iPhone probably won't be the driver of growth. There's only so many people with an iPhone already in their hands, myself included. And the point is that you can have this like sort of subscription service of where people change their phone every year and so on, but that only has a certain population, and that doesn't give you the growth that you need from new customers. So where do you get new customers? And that is where this event comes in. Now, the event, I called it the end game because, of course, this is Endgame month for Marvel. This is Endgame month for, I mean, it's just amazing. And today, as a matter of fact, as I am recording this, I am about to go out and head to the Shazam premiere. I am so happy. I am so excited. I think this movie is going to do great. Word of mouth has been amazing. I think it's going to shatter the box office because it is expected to make like $45 to $50 million in the US. I think it's going to destroy that, as Aquaman destroyed its expected box office results. So I'm going to, of course, write out on the blog and do a podcast about that movie, and I am going to definitely do one leading up to Endgame on the 25th or 26th of April. I don't know. I already got my ticket, so I don't care. So let's get back into Apple. Apple brings out this event, and let's give a previous. If you're not caught up with the tech, if you're listening to me as your source of knowledge, which I appreciate. The week before this happened, and this was for the 25th of March 2019, the week before, Apple did something that we're not used to, which is basically they cleaned house so that this event wouldn't have to have any other announcements. So they announced the iPad mini 5, they announced iPad Air 3 per se. It's not called 3, but it's the third iPad Air out. They also renewed the iMac lineup. They announced AirPods 2. Yesterday, as a matter of fact, which is way after the event, April the 3rd, they announced the new PowerBeats Pro, which is probably my favorite product of Apple Beats, bar none. Like, I record this using Beats. I've always used Beats. I run with Beats. I have PowerBeats 3. And I've always loved Beats as a brand. But this is what I really wanted since the beginning of the Beats lineup towards health and fitness. Just completely wireless fitness earphones. And this is just great. So that happens, and that shows you, that proves to you, okay, we're going to talk about something different. And that is exactly what they did. They did an introduction of Think Different Productions. So basically they were talking about who was producing this movie or event or whatever. And that was like a look into what the event was going to be. Basically production of services. Apple is going to have a big bet on services for the future because it has to evolve. The best person to put you out of business should be yourself. So that is something that we should keep in mind for this whole announcement. So, and they start off with the Apple News. Now, Apple News has become, and that is a good thing, it's the number one news app in the world right now. And that means that they have 5 billion articles read every month, and that's magazines and stuff. And so they're doing Apple News Plus, which is $9.99, which is super expensive unless you use that as a family sharing plan. Then it's worthwhile because you can use up to 4 and 5 people, and then you're talking about way less payment per person, and that is exactly what is supposed to happen here. I would not explore unless you're bleeding money. I don't expect people to actually do that in that sort of manner. Other than that, I also would appreciate if people understood the fact that there is a lot of bad things about Apple News, and I actually don't agree with that. I think Apple News, it's just that I don't agree that this should have been announced at the event. I mean, iPad announcements and all of that could have been announced instead of Apple News, and they could have used that time to you know, have a better tone and even have a showroom after the event, which was something that wasn't happening here and normally should, you know. I definitely agree that this was a great idea for the event, but they were missing that punchline. And I think the hardware side of it should have been that. And I would have replaced Apple News for that. Plus, it was small and not very useful. Number two was Apple Pay. So Apple Pay, that here's where we see the plan. And this is where I wanna take a minute. Apple Pay was announced and people were like, why is Apple getting into this? Like, I mean, I understand the innovation. I understand the use of your phone is always with you, and it gives way to different other types of services. So it helps with credit cards, it helps with payments, it helps with unifying methods of payment and simplifying credit card transactions and security of those transactions. Okay, we're good. But the real reason behind this is that Apple was looking into the finance sector as an opportunity, as a way of looking into this as a business prelude, like a study of market, you know. They were investigating their competitors, they were investigating what's going to happen, and now the Apple Pay is rolling out in 40 plus countries. It's also coming to transit in some specific areas, and here we go. They hit us with Apple Card, which is crazy. So they want to do health in finance. And I understand that they are able to do this, and the fact that they are trying to do this in a different way is something that I applaud. They have daily cash, which is cash back every day, and that's money That's 1% with the physical card, 2% with any daily use, and 3% with any Apple transactions. They also show that they are not going to have fees. If they're not going to have fees, that also means that it's going to hit you somewhere. They're not going to lose. So that means that if you have late payments or if you haven't paid and stuff, your interest is going to hurt you and stuff. But they're trying to do this in a different way because they're Apple. But the thing is, the market for finance and for credit cards isn't a very flexible one. So that is where I was surprised. They studied the market. Now they're going to be part of the market. They're going to be working in it and completely invested in your finance. And that is going to give them the knowledge of if services is strong enough to go from Apple Pay to paying through Apple themselves. And I think this is a very huge bet. I think they understand that services are the future. Services equals apps. And if they can make your credit card an app, they know that it's going to be the number one in the world because they have the infrastructure and the ecosystem to do so. We'll see where that goes. That's my point with the Apple Card. Then they announced Apple Arcade. Now, this was something that I think was an end game in the beginning of when they did Game Center. And it didn't work out, and it did, but it wasn't good enough, and it didn't have, like, a finality to it. Like, it was a sort of ecosystem for people to compete against each other, but no, but yes. So there was no benefit to anyone, actually, here. Like, they were trying to find out how to prescribe this into the market, and it didn't work. So here comes Apple Arcade, which is the end game. And so there is 1 billion people participating as a fact of this ecosystem of gaming in the Apple hardware and software ecosystem again. But what happens is that they're not taking advantage of that, not towards themselves and not towards the gamers and the developers. So what they do is they create an ecosystem, they create a service in which when you actually do give forward a subscription, which is not yet announced, then you're going to have access to specific gaming and to specific platforms and to specific developers that are going to be earning money, earning opportunity, and earning audience and people that are going to definitely try out their games because they are already paying for them. So if you're going to get 100 plus games that are going to be really innovative and really set up for the Apple brand, which is amazing because the Apple TV is included, I think that is something that is going to be able to just revolutionize mobile gaming. And in the way that Nintendo understood this completely and had a way of moving in between the console and the mobile gaming, I think this is a way of bringing mobile gaming to a more serious way. And again, it has to do with family sharing. It is set up in 150 plus countries this fall. So I think it's going to be very, very, very good. And for the gaming world that is so powerful right now, financially and develop-wise. I mean, esports is becoming as big or bigger in some cases than sports themselves, competitive, normal, per se, sports. And so I think Apple wants to participate here. It's a area where they haven't before, and in a way that actually gives them a say in this matter. You know, they're going to be able to help developers test out audiences, test out developments of new software and of new hardware, because the iPad and the Apple TV are going to have to evolve to be able to play these games. I think this is going to be good. The only downside, I'm going to do parentheses here, because I don't quite understand this very well, but I don't get how this is also going to be available on the Mac. I don't think the Mac has the power of doing everything the Mac does, especially for portable, you know, for MacBooks. I get the iMac, I get the Mac Pro, and even, you know, but I don't see how the MacBook Air, for example, or the MacBook, the 12-inch one, would be able to do so in an effective manner. So I'm intrigued, and I think it's very effective for everywhere except for the Mac, which I'm hoping that it works, but I'm not sure how it actually does. For the Apple TV, check. For the iPad, completely check. And the iPhone is way above anyone else in the market. So I understand how it's going to work. And then we get to the big one. We get to TV. And TV was an odd announcement, was an odd part of the keynote, but it's a powerful play on the market. Because what they do is they're trying to be the first service that is going to bundle the streaming and cable experience that we are in. We are in a world where you have Netflix, but you also have cable subscription. And that leaves you in a limbo place, you know, because for live events, you use your cable subscription most of the time. And for streaming, most of the time you use streaming platforms or apps. And in the middle of that, you're paying for both. So some people have cut the cord and they've left cable television and tried to look at live TV somewhere on the internet or pay for the live TV on like the YouTube Red or YouTube Premium options or the PlayStation. I think PlayStation has one where it also has live. And so Apple goes, okay, we're going to do the TV app so that it lives everywhere in our ecosystem. And if you have these, they're going to try and have channels. So you pay through Apple so that Apple pays HBO and HBO gives you some of their content. But it's still expensive, so I don't see the gain. It's confusing because it's not available in Costa Rica, so I haven't been able to test this out. However, I have been able to understand the value of it. Because they are, after all, bundling services, and that is something that is not done correctly. Apple included, they're not doing it in the best way possible. So last but not least, here comes Apple TV Plus. Now, people were like, oh, why don't they just buy Netflix? And I think that their way of looking at this is they're going to have a service that is completely original to Apple. What does that mean? That means that they're not buying other services. They're not buying other IPs. And in an environment as the streaming service that is fighting tooth and nail about IPs, I think it is completely valid. It is completely valuable to the customer to have original content. That is what Netflix is way in front of everyone at. Netflix has been able to work with others like Marvel, but that means that they were losing that IP even if they were setting up a platform that would be successful with it. And so here comes the great stories can change the world. Artists inspire. And here is the list of people that came up. Spielberg, J.J. Abrams, Jennifer Aniston, Kumail Nanjiani, Big Bird, and then they close out with Oprah, and I'm like, what in the world is going on? Because the way that they announced it was a little monotonous, so it was surprising when they talked about their content, but the way of presenting it wasn't the most effective, especially with Apple, where they are experts at keynote effectiveness of getting your attention. And I was losing my focus at some point because I was like, okay, what's next? And they did the same way. They shouldn't do the same way. But whatever, the point is, I get that their point is the content and not the way they presented it. But for a keynote, I think that is key. That was a good pun. And so they start off with Spielberg, and he talks about that he's going to do a sci-fi way of original content. And it's Spielberg. Everybody wants to see what he's going to do. And I'm like, okay, is that enough? And then Steve Carell, Aniston, and the other girl, I don't remember, the blonde, what's her name? They're going to do a morning show. And Steve Carell is just, they're trying to play on people, on the fame and on the people that are on the screen. But I do believe that it's so effective that they're going to do original content, because they will never lose whatever they put in, on their platform. Like Netflix, who basically every month is winning and losing some IPs, and based on that, getting attention and using that attention to redirect you into their original content, which is very effective because they've been on the market for so long that their transition from other IPs to their own is very, very good. And they have high numbers. And they have movies that they produce themselves that are very, very successful. Now, Apple doesn't have the time to do that because they're already coming into this ecosystem and the big players are yet to come, which is basically Disney is coming next year. And Disney, in a matter of IPs, is probably the biggest, strongest player there is in the world. So we'll see what's going to happen here. Then after Spielberg and the morning show comes the Aquaman, which and How to Get Away with Murder lady, I don't remember their name, Jason Momoa and Viola Davis, I think is her name, and their pitch was amazing. Their pitch was incredible. That is something that I'm very interested in. Spielberg got my attention because he's Spielberg, but these two got my attention because of what they were pitching, not who they were. And I think that is what Apple should strive for. Then Kumail Nanjiani did the same thing. He's going to do a series called Little America, which is stories of everyday immigrants who have very powerful stories. And I mean, talking at this event, which is Apple, which is a company, the biggest company in the world, made by an immigrant, by a son of immigrants, is just amazing. Then J.J. Abrams and Sarah Burrell came out and they talk about Little Voice. And that wasn't in my ball house. I mean, what the hell? And then she started playing. I mean, I know you're a musician. You don't have to prove it to us. It was just confusing. And so they close out with Oprah. And that was like, there's one more thing. And Oprah was very effective because she's Oprah. And she's very effective because of her personality, because of her glow, because of what she represents, because of who she talks to, because of the way she talks to people. You know, she speaks to the heart. She's very powerful in this. And she's talking about like book clubs and documentaries and the power of documentaries and the power of Apple. And she's going to be supporting this. And this is a project that takes her out of, per se, retirement. And so I think that it wasn't just very well portrayed. And that is what I want to close this podcast with. I am a very fervent Apple fan in the sense that I will support what they do and I will try and criticize in a constructive way and not just be like, oh, it's the end of Apple, or just be doomsday about it. But I also want to understand why people are looking at this and finding value. Apple Music is a place that I absolutely adore. And the fact that they were trying to put video content on it, I thought was kind of weak. The content was good, but it was weak because it's Apple Music. You know, it's Spotify got it right in getting into the podcast area, not the video area, because they're different mediums. The podcast is not. So I think that is where it's powerful. And I hope that Apple understands that and finds a way to make Apple TV Plus as a service more valuable than just the famous people. I think the biggest takeaway from this is the power of good content versus the power of who's presenting that content. You know, the iPhone was nothing without the power of it being an amazing tool. And it being an amazing tool meant it had to have something behind it. And that was the App Store. You see what I mean? The people and the service of the Apple TV Plus is nothing without good content that will call people into their service. So I hope that that is what they're striving for. I hope that is what they're going to keep on announcing. And as they continue with their hardware, which is what is driving their company forward, which is the announcements of the new iPhone and etc. that's coming later this year, I hope that they hope that it's going to be able to improve into their way of they're new to services. They have never been in this race before. So hopefully that means that this is going to be improving. Other than that, I hope you guys keep up to date with the blog and the podcast, because I'm going to get back to you guys on Shazam. I think this month is going to be Godzilla. Let me just give you a very quick recap of what is coming up the following months, which is basically around the corner. And that is the fact that we are so close to the release of Hellboy, which I'm going to, of course, go watch. I'm going to try to see La Llorona because it's a very, you know, near to my culture. Also, Endgame is coming. Aladdin is coming. Godzilla is coming. X-Men. Oh, man, I don't think that's going to be a good movie, but okay. X-Men is coming. And then Lion King, etc. I just think that I'm going to get back. I wanted to get this tech episode out because of how important this is. I also am going to try to write out on the blog a review for us, which I thought was very thought-jerking, but also confusing. So I'm going to try and do a review for that, a review for Shazam, a review for the upcoming movies, and just a leading up to Endgame content. So get ready for all the content that is coming this month. I'm going to do my best to get as much pumped out and get work and go to university and just hang out with my daughter and my girlfriend. So I'm going to do all of that for you guys, for myself, for my love of this hobby that I have, and for this passion that I'm trying to put out to you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for reading. Follow me on social media at Real Apple Worm on Instagram and Twitter, also on at DVD19931 on every other platform, also on Flipboard. I'm getting back to Flipboard and to how successful that is for me. And just keep up to date. Thank you so much for listening. Read up on the blog at oneappleworm.blogspot.com. Thank you guys. We'll keep in touch. Peace. I'm out. If you say what you want.